This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And we're happy to be joined today by Rich Valdez, host of America at Night, heard weeknights 7 to 10 right here. Rich, good morning.
What's up, Kyle? Good morning.
Well, it is a Monday. We are back at it. It is a busy time of year. What's been going on with you?
Thank God. So far, so good. Keeping everybody up to speed on what's going on in America at night in the wee hours of the morning.
Well, and for you East Coast people, it's a little more wee hours. For some of us here on the West Coast, it's kind of early to mid-evening, although when you get up at 2-something in the morning, honestly, 7 o'clock starts to feel like the new 11, so I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
So you've been doing this for a while. How do you feel like the program is going these days?
Oh, I love it. The program has actually grown since I've been in. We've picked up 25 new affiliates since last June, which is a tremendous testament to the network, the great work of the folks at Westwood One and Cumulus. And I'm super proud and thankful that the people want to listen to it.
And what do you like in particular about getting to talk with people all over the country every night and really cover a lot of different topics?
You know, Kyle, what I think is really unique about this is that a lot of radio tends to go either with recorded programming or reruns of certain shows, whether it's, you know, after like 9 p.m. On certain stations. And the stations that we're on are carrying our show, which is live, for 3 hours each night. I take calls throughout the night from the folks that are listening and calling in. And the rule on the show is if you disagree with the premise or the opinions on the show, you move to the front of the line. And, of course, first-time callers, we also move them to the front of the line. And it's a very busy call-in type of show. So I love to hear the different opinions from people all over the country, whether they agree or disagree, because it gives you perspective that you really wouldn't get anywhere else, whether you go to a big event, a big rally, anything like that. You're not going to get the perspective of somebody, let's say, in Oregon, and then minutes later, somebody from New York. I count it as a blessing.
Well, the live aspect is so important in the 15 plus, maybe 16 years now that we've been a full-time news talk station. That's always been our emphasis, and absolutely, we agree with the importance of having someone live in the evening. You know, when world events happen, it may be 8 o'clock our time. And if you're listening to somebody else, you're hearing talk about something else when obviously what just happened has jumped to the forefront and you're able to jump right on it immediately.
100%. And oftentimes, believe it or not, a lot of things break in the evening, whether it's, you know, big events like the Republican nomination, the Democrat convention, all these things happen at night. And we're able to tap into these things live and have people on the ground at these events or, you know, State of the Union or breaking news. Oftentimes, you know, these conflicts that happen with Iran on the move against Israel and against the United States. A lot of these things happen when it's the wee hours of the night here, but it happens live. So we're able to bring you, you know, the most up to the minute coverage of it, which is really cool in the sense of, you know, just keeping people up to speed rather than having for them to wake up the next morning and hear this stuff. They have an opportunity to catch it if they're on the road, if they're emergency people, first responders, you know, who all oftentimes work the late shift. And thankfully, they listen to radio.
And what are some of the most interesting or who are some of the most interesting people you've gotten to interview?
You know, I would say Donald Trump was really a fun interview. He was a really interesting guy to interview. I also, from the Netflix series The Tiger King, a guy named Joe Exotic, he was really interesting. We did that interview from jail, and every couple of minutes, you know, the jail record come out and say, this is a call from a federal prison. And, you know, it's being recorded. And it was just really interesting to do that. I hadn't interviewed somebody in prison before. But I also got to interview Bo Duke from the Dukes of Hazzard, John Schneider, legendary singer Tony Orlando, the sportscaster Stephen A. Smith. I mean, I really had a lot of great opportunities to chat with a lot of wonderful people.
And to keep it more diverse than just politics.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I also spoke with Victoria Jackson from Saturday Night Live, a legend comedian. There's just so many different people that have different perspectives on many different things and really good scientists, believe it or not, which is a budding interest of mine. I never thought that I'd be interested in chatting with a scientist for a half hour about many different things. Just recently learned about the different side effects of the weight loss drug Ozempic. One of them is now showing that it can slow Alzheimer's disease. Another one was showing that it also helps people with gambling and other types of addictions. So, I mean, just things that you learn are really interesting. And women are getting pregnant a lot faster and more fertile if they're on Ozempic. Go figure.
Interesting. Now, do you feel like some of your, so you mentioned being more interested in science. Do you think some of that kind of shifts with age? Do you ever look around and realize that you're now interested in things that maybe your parents were?
You know, I never looked at it that way. I find it just, you know, being the only live show in the 10 o'clock time slot Eastern time and, you know, Central and earlier in Pacific, we get the opportunity for a lot of people to reach out to us with different things. And things that normally I did a political talk show on live radio in New York City for some time. And I just we never really got into the science of things unless it was talking about COVID or anything like that. But because the show has such a rich legacy with Larry King being on it and Jim Bohannon being on it and covering a lot of diverse topics as of just a real kind of general talk show, it gives me an opportunity to go outside of my comfort zone in conservative talk and get into these other topics. And the feedback I get from the audience is stellar. They can't get enough of it, which I think is really cool.
Now, anything in particular, especially fun, that you've gotten to do this summer?
You know, I don't know. I because of the hours, I don't do a ton of fun stuff. I think I'm always working and I'm sleeping during the day to be able to be up at night. But I did just do a trip to Puerto Rico, which was a lot of fun. I was jet skiing and I had a blast.
Well, it's cool to get away like that. As you look towards the general election in the fall for the presidential race, what are your thoughts on the way? I mean, this has been kind of I hate to overuse it, unprecedented year in a lot of ways.
Sure. Yeah. You know, I tend to think that while you're right, these terms are overused, but I think they're accurate. I think every election for the rest of our lives will be the most important election on certain things. Right. So the left wing movement within our media, the left wing movement within our academic institutions, they've been alive and well for 100 years, but they've never been as strong, in my opinion, as they are now. Some might counter that and say, well, they're not that strong because they've been exposed and we're talking about it. And that may be true, but I don't think they've ever cranked out as many foot soldiers as they have at this point. And it's remarkable to me. 20 years ago, I used to use it as an example to people. I would say, well, you don't want the government involved in every aspect of your life. Like, would you support a candidate that said, I'm advocating for free housing for all people? This is something I actively said to people in 2005, and they would shake their head and go, yeah, no, that's crazy. The government buying people houses or paying for their housing, that's just not something. Nobody, every side of the aisle agreed that people had to earn their own way to have their own housing. Unless they were extremely destitute, like some sort of public housing program, which already existed. But today, you've got universal basic income and all sorts of new housing programs, especially for the illegal migrants that are coming through the border, and people seem to be on board with this. I've never seen so many Americans embrace communist ideas as I have now, and it's a very scary thing, and I think it's a lack of civics education, a lack of understanding of our American history, a lack of understanding of our founding. And moreover, we're also at a time where they're actually unabashedly admitting that we have to undo what this country was built on. And it started with saying it was because it was old white men, but now that's not the case. It's actually the idea of liberty, the idea of freeing ourselves from the British crown because people wanted to pray a certain way and didn't want to be overtaxed. And that seems to be wrong, and a lot of people are admitting it. I saw a clip just over the weekend. Somebody sent me something of a protester, and he did a man-on-the-street interview with somebody. And the guy says, look, the reality here is we have to undo the way this country started. This country has to buckle. We have to bring it down from the inside. He said this in front of everybody on camera. And this was a protester at a pro-Hamas rally that was, you know, obviously anti-Trump and anti-America, but he admitted to being anti-America, which they usually use euphemisms, and they say things like the vice presidential candidate says, this is neighborliness. No, it's not neighborliness. This is communist sympathy, and it's disguised as neighborliness or anything else, and I think that there's less and less disguises, and it's a scary time. But to answer the question, I think 2024, this is a pivotal election, as you noted, and one where we have to pay a lot of attention. The media is putting heavy influence on it. There's a lot of election interference, in my opinion, going on from many different angles, and it's going to really be up to we the people to make this thing happen and not believe the hype.
Last question. 22 days ago, when President Biden removed himself from the race, did you see that coming, or did you think if it was going to happen, it already would have?
Well, you know, there was a lot of speculation about it. And honestly, my thinking was, I asked almost every guest I had, so what do you think? Are they going to pull a switcheroo at the convention? And I thought everything would happen at the convention, you know, with somebody nominating from the floor, someone else, and superdelegates getting involved. I didn't think it was going to happen prior to until Mark Halperin from Newsmax made that prediction, I think, on Thursday. And he said by Sunday, Biden will be out. And just like clockwork, Biden was out that Sunday. The only difference is I think the information he had predicted was he will not endorse Harris. And then that same day, he not only bailed out, but an hour later, he tweets out again, I'm in. And then there was that bizarre phone call and a lot of obscurity since then. So yeah, I didn't see that happening. But I would have thought if I'm a Democrat and I'm giving strategy to the Democrats, this is the move I would have made. And even more so, I think they didn't go far enough. If you want Harris to win, I think he should have said, look, America, I don't feel well. I'm going to be stepping away from the presidency. Harris is going to be your new president. And as president, she could run around for the next 3 months while being president and campaigning, having that perch saying, I am the first black woman president, and reelect me. Let's continue this tradition. I think that would have given her a stronger platform. I could be wrong on that. But either way, this is where they are. And now they've enjoying a bump in the fact that she is someone that has a pulse, unlike Joe Biden. And of course, people that, you know, if you have a corpse like Weekend at Bernie's running for president, you're not going to poll well. Super. They get it. Now they put someone in that is trying to bring some energy to the campaign, and the media is full on board with it. They were full on board with us with saying that Biden had to go because they were all complicit in it. So I think this is we're up against a lot here, and it's going to take a lot of effort to cut through the noise.
Rich Valdez, weeknights 7 to 10 right here on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Rich, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you, brother. Big shout out to everybody in KQEN land, Oregon. And thank you, Kyle. Appreciate it. God bless.
All right. 844 at the Morning Report.